The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Joining us for The Last Word of the Environment is Sive O'Neill, environmental and climate change researcher and a contributor to the Irish Times. Good evening to you, Sive.
Good evening, Matt.
The first thing I want to ask you about is what happened on the River Blackwater? How many fish stock have been killed? How long could it take to replenish fish stocks on the river?
Yeah, this is a particularly devastating incident, and it's not obvious yet what caused it. But local anglers reckon that up to 40,000 fish could be dead, which is, as they say, phenomenal. And in fact, the chairman of the local angling club, Conor Arnold, said something that has really stuck with me in the last few days. He says, it's phenomenal. The river is dying before our eyes. So if brown trout, are expected to recover, it'll take at least 10 years. But there's a couple of generations of salmon that are also impacted. So this is a really devastating impact on the river. And, you know, 10 years is a very long time. If somebody destroyed a golf club and said you can't play golf until it's restored in 10 years, you know, the golfers would be mightily upset. So I think you can understand the frustration and the disappointment of anglers, but the ecological impact is terribly serious. So there's various different factors. It could be a chemical source. It could be the effect of climate change, rising water temperatures and drought, low water levels, and it could also be some sort of point or diffuse source of pollution, and all of these need to be thoroughly investigated.
How long does that take, Sive? How long does it take to work out, and then what can be done?
Well, I think usually when there's a spill, an accidental spill, it doesn't tend to take too long to find out what the source is. But in this case, they seem to be unsure of what the cause of the fish kill is, which is means that it requires a lot of scientific study. And we won't know probably for some time. But it just shows how sensitive river bodies and water bodies are to any form of pollution or environmental stress, that it can wipe out that many fish in such a short time. And the fish are still dying, apparently, according to the anglers. They're still being spotted.
Isn't that the most worrying thing, that it isn't just a one-off kill, but if this is carrying on over a period of time, that who knows when it'll stop and what further damage will be done for future generations?
It all depends on what the source of the problem is. If it's a one-off incident, hopefully that's the end of it. If it can be identified and rectified, it may not have to recur again. But we've seen this happen across the country in a number of locations where you have still, in today's day and age, with, you know, better monitoring and enforcement, you still have, you know, one-off sources of pollution from sewage systems, from agricultural. And the land is draining through agricultural land, which has been intensified a lot in recent years due to the expansion of dairy. So it's really hard to know. Parts of Tipperary have also had incidents with chemical pollution, where containers of pesticides and fertilizers were washed in the river, causing point source pollution as well. And as you know, we might want to talk later about plastics and chemicals, and these are becoming ubiquitous in the environment and are leading to all kinds of stresses and impacts on other species as well as human beings that are not being widely reported, and it's sometimes hard to identify the causes of any individual problem or ill health. But the evidence is there to say that, you know, nature is being polluted on a huge scale. And so these fish kills, unfortunately, are just part of that picture.
Well, then tell us about how the plastic additives have been linked to the decline in the quality and quantity of sperm.
Yes, well, this was reported this week, but in fact, it's not news, really. A couple of years ago, I read a book by the author who's referenced in one of the pieces, Dr. Shanna Swan. And she's written a number of books called Countdown, where she started a couple of decades ago looking at the decline in male and female fertility and in the health of sperm, which is obviously very important for producing live pregnancies and births. So she and some Danish researchers were the first to look at the links with certain types of plastics and chemicals that act to disrupt the body's endocrine or hormone production systems. But what really shocked me was that there are 16,000 chemical additives in plastic, 16,000. And at least 4,000 of these are known to be toxic. And just 3 plastic additives have been linked to over 164,000 deaths. And I'll go on, 364,000 strokes and 11.7 million lost IQ points. And that was in 2015. So we know from the way that scientists do their studies in labs what the impacts of individual chemicals are. But we are being exposed to a toxic soup of these things. And even though some of them have been banned in Europe, the actual plastic products themselves are still floating around in the environment. They're not necessarily just vanishing just because the chemicals have been banned in, you know, for future use. So the reality is that we are exposing ourselves to known risks, and this has been going on for a long time. But unfortunately, we saw last week that world leaders failed to agree on an approach to plastic pollution, partly because they couldn't agree on what to do about these additives in the chemical additives in plastic, and because there was a disagreement about whether to focus on recycling or, you know, lower or put a cap on production in the first place.
So I also want to ask you about, Saif, is I suppose it's obvious that wildfire smoke is going to be bad for anyone who inhales it. But tell us about the scientific research which suggests it is actually far more dangerous to health than had been thought.
Yes, I suppose people have the idea that wildfire smoke, because it's, you know, mostly burning biomass, wood and, you know, natural stuff in the environment, it isn't as bad as burning other kind of man-made products. But the truth is that burning wood does release those small particulate matter called PM, or particulate matter, that is known to be very dangerous to human health, because they're such tiny little pieces, particles, that they can enter the bloodstream, enter into the organs and even into the brain, causing all kinds of problems. But of course, that's not the only thing that wildfire smoke produces. There's fine particulates, but there's all kinds of other pollutants as well. And their evidence, that these researchers found, that over 500 people in Europe die on average every year just due to wildfire smoke. And of course, that is getting worse, because we know the wildfires themselves are getting worse. In fact, the wildfires this year have been, you know, about 4 times as extensive as any other previous year. So, you know, that means there'll be more smoke and more carbon dioxide released as well.
One final one, Saif. It's well known how much Donald Trump hates windmills, loves drawing Sharpie pictures of them, making comments about them. But a practical thing that he is doing now is reducing tax subsidies for both wind and solar projects. How significant is that likely to be?
Well, this is just one, of a series of measures that he's introduced since his election, only a few months ago, really, to undermine the supports that the Biden administration had introduced for renewables. And of course, he's, you know, dismantling environmental protections, dismantling the EPA functions in this regard, and all the legal protections. It's absolutely appalling. And what he's done here is that he is legally obliged to provide funding under various pieces of legislation introduced by Biden to subsidies for renewable energy projects. But now he's introduced an executive order stating that within 45 days, the Internal Revenue Service in the US can only give this subsidy if 5% of the construction work essentially has already begun. And that means that companies that thought they were going to be eligible might not be eligible, because, of course, these projects have a long lead-in time. So it's just one other example of how he is trying to make life really difficult for the renewable sector. He's clearly, You know, most governments try to be neutral in respect of technology and business. They try not to weigh in on one side or another. They let the market forces decide which is the most efficient. But he's taking sides. I mean, he's taking sides with the fossil fuel industry, which in turn has been funding his campaigns and the campaigns of Republican candidates around the United States. And, you know, I think Peter Turchin has described the US now as a plutocracy, essentially, that you have a system of government which is no longer a democracy in the sense that we understand it in Ireland. You have, you know, corporate elites, basically, who control the levers of power in the US government, because this policy is clearly irrational. It's not based on scientific evidence. It's not even based on good economics. Now, the solar industry are very robust in the United States, and you know they'll survive. They'll tick along, and there's huge consumer demand for solar panels. But large scale renewable projects, offshore wind, large utility solar farms, will probably run into delays and obstacles that they would not have otherwise had to deal with.
Slav O'Neill, thank you.
The Last Word on Today FM.